people have powerful feelings about the traffic in Los Angeles, it says something that local officials warned motorists about a temporary road work closure on the 405 last year by calling it Carmageddon. Angelenos took the hint, and this weekend they're expected to steer clear of the latest 405 closure, named, of course, Carmageddon 2. That's how it is in L.A., a snarl of overstuffed freeways and commuters who keep their cool, except when they don't. KPCC's Stephen Cuevas has this profile of a punk rocker whose music expresses the insanity of L.A. traffic while extolling the virtues of public transit.
Couple of things you need to know about Eddie Solis. He lives in L.A., loves the band Kiss, and does not own a car.
Being someone who's from L.A., born and raised, and, you know, having a few cars in my past, I saw the city much differently through a different perspective through the eyes of a bus rider.
Want to just go all the way to the back?
Sure. Line 18, Wilshire Western Station.
Just steps from the front door of his home. Across the street from a tortilla factory in L.A.'s Boyle Heights neighborhood, Solis catches a bus that connects him with the city's subway and the commuter train he catches to his day job at an indie record label in Hollywood.
It just opened me up to, like, little neighborhoods, galleries, clubs, bars, just everything. Just seeing what's out there, little pockets of the city.
Solis's journeys aboard L.A. buses and subway cars informs a lot of the material on The New Los Angeles Part 1, Through the Eyes of a Bus Rider, the latest release by the singer-guitarist band It's Casual. In Solis's vision of a new Los Angeles, people abandon their cars, climb aboard public transit, and rediscover their communities. One song extols the virtues of the L.A. County Metropolitan Transit Agency's Easy Pass and the urban underbelly it introduces to the rider.
And that's a nod and homage to, you know, the people who know what you can even go cheaper and really beat the system and really steer away from spending money on gas and oil profits and all that. Is all it takes for me to witness racial tension, for me to witness illegal aliens. It's not to paint a negative picture, it's just my perspective of what is seen.
Off the bus and back on the street, we make our way past a jazz saxophonist playing for pocket change and down a long escalator to catch a train.
So, where are we now?
We're at the Red Line station, the Pershing Square station in downtown L.A.
And what's our destination?
We're going to go downstairs another tier, and about 5 minutes, we're going to get on the Red Line going northbound.
Okay, yeah. Let's go.
The Metro Red Line snakes from North Hollywood to downtown Los Angeles. It's the train that inspired It's Casual's signature tune and spawned a viral internet video. It was partly filmed late at night on a moving train as it hurtles from station to station. Solis thrashes away on his guitar and barks the lyrics, which celebrate the Red Line and call out the congested freeways that coil around Los Angeles.
Este es un tren de Metro Red Line a North Hollywood.
The 210, the 605, the freeways are not so nice. The I-5, the 210, the freeways are not so nice.
The thread that comes out of the record that ties everyone together is just like, be alive, don't be a victim of having a car.
An MTA spokesman said he couldn't comment on Eddie Solis's furious pro-Metro message, but the Red Line video was a hit at the offices of Move LA.
Eddie's done a good job. Thank you, Eddie.
It's the public transportation advocacy group headed by former Santa Monica Mayor Denny Zane. He liked the juxtaposition of Solis blissfully riding L.A. public transit in one scene with scenes of the band raging against those notorious freeway jams.
Eddie is all frantic when he talks about highways. And so mellow when he's like grooving on a skateboard and on the bus and on the Red Line, there's a metaphor for the transformation, you know, from the, oh my God, I just got to get out of the traffic to, hey, this is cool. I can mellow out.
Or you can blast the tune like Too Many People as you claw your way across Los Angeles by car, bus, or skateboard.
Los Angeles! There's too many people! I want them to go away! Even though it means they're so free!
Too Many People could also be a motto for It's Casual. Over the years, the band whittled itself down to a power duo of Solis and a rotating cast of drummers. So you may think the burly, bearded punk rocker just can't get along with freeways, with people, or his native LA. Not true.
I love it. I love everything about it. I've traveled throughout the U.S. many times, and I could never look forward enough to coming back. The weather, the different cultures, the landscape. I was just like, you know what? Now I know why everyone moves to L.A.
Solis will bring the love and the volume during a Red Line mini tour next month. It's Casual will play a different venue within walking distance of several Red Line metro stops from Union Station to West Hollywood. For the California Report, I'm Stephen Cuevas.
The 210, the 605, the freeways are not so nice. The I-5, the 210, the freeways are not so nice. The 101, the 405, the freeways are not so nice. The I-5, the I-10, the freeways are not so nice. The 210, the 605, the freeways are not so nice. The I-5, the I-10, the freeways are not so nice. The red light. The I-5, the I-10, the freeways are not so nice. The 101, the 405, the freeways are not so nice. The 605, the 101, the 101, the 101, the I-10, the 210, the 605, the 101, the 405, the I-10, the freeways are not so nice. The red light.
Welcome to the 90th episode of Los Angeles Nista. I'm the creator, producer, and host, Edward Solis, and this is a Boyle Heights episode. I'm very excited. I have two guests in front of me, and one of them I've been trying to get for a long time. A very popular and exciting guy. Mondo.
Hey, oh, him? How's it going?
Now, I wanted to ask you, should I call you Mondo or Armando?
Whatever you feel comfortable with.
Really?
Mondo.
Mondo.
Mondo's cool.
Mondo's cool?
Yeah, Mondo.
What's your last name, Mondo?
Gonzalez.
I knew that, but I want you to introduce that. Yourself.
Armando Gonzalez, yeah.
And why don't you tell the world about your skate shop? What's it called?
Soul Skating Los Angeles.
You know, the first time I heard of you, I heard about your shop was on Vista LA.
Oh, is that right?
Channel 7.
Orale.
I don't think I ever told you that.
No, you didn't.
I was watching and I was like, man. I got to go meet this guy.
Yeah.
And I think I walked in, I bought some bearings off you.
Oh, really? Yeah, yeah, cool.
For my board. Remember that?
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a while. Actually, Channel 7 came out to Boyle Heights. They did a little story on the changes of Boyle Heights. I think it was called like the Renaissance of Boyle Heights.
It was.
Yeah.
And it was a very positive feature they did. It just had tons of positivity and productivity around it. And they talked about you and Eastside Love, but your segment shined. You had a lot to say about what was going on at street level and how your experiences resonated and allowed you to have the experience you have now with your skate shop and your gallery. You brought a friend and a partner.
Yeah.
His name is Raul Gonzalez, a very, very, very great muralist and artist. I went to an unveiling of one of your restored murals.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, I remember Isabel.
Isabel Williams.
Yeah, Isabel invited me. She was on here. It was from the Mural Conservancy of Los Angeles.
That's right. That's right.
There in Boyle Heights. And you,
great friends.
Yeah, great friends and allies, right?
That's right. That's right.
Kent Twitchell,
Willie Herron.
All those guys. Kent is so old school, man. Yeah. That guy is great. The entities that you're affiliated with is ES Studios. What does that stand for?
ES Studios, Eastside Studios, or it could be Eclectic Soul. It could be anything.
What about S Studios?
S Studios. Yeah. El Satanico. I don't know. El Salvador. It could be anything.
No Salvatrucha.
El Salvatrucha. It could be Eddie Solis.
Oh.
Remember you took a picture there?
I did. And I just hashtag Eddie Solis, and everyone was like, dude, what's up, man? Blowing up. What's up?
You got it on lock.
You got Boyle and Six on lock. And let's talk about McDee and Murals.
McLan. Yes, McLan Murals. I've been doing murals for 17 years now from Boyle Heights, raising the housing projects, Jalisco Village. And, we've been doing a lot of work with the youth there. We did a lot of work for as a form of graffiti abatement and cultural educational workshops. We use the murals. And so that's...
I have a question for both of you. Let's start with Mondo, and let's get your take on it after. The state of Boyle Heights, what it is today, it's not what it was in the 80s.
Oh, no.
Or the 90s. We've discussed many times, our experiences, and especially yours growing up in Boyle Heights.
Yeah.
It wasn't just easy to kind of walk around the neighborhood back in the day, right? I mean, you would definitely have to, like, look over your shoulder and, be open to oncoming traffic. And these days and age, I mean, it's, you got a huge eclectic thing happening. You got, looks like, all walks of life are moving in, and people from out of state, instead of choosing Hollywood, they're choosing Boyle Heights. How do you feel about people coming into the neighborhood that aren't from here and experiencing what Boyle Heights has to offer? Start with you.
Well, we got to arrest them. No. You know what? This conversation's, really ongoing. And, it's only the beginning, I think. I welcome the change. I really think that it's a great thing that Boyle Heights is finally on the map. because when we were growing up, you brought up the 80s, man. The 80s were completely different.
It was really dark, man.
Yeah, the 80s,
negative, right?
The 80s were rough, man. The 80s were like, just a lot of stuff happened that, can definitely, traumatize, individuals. But, we survived them, and one of the things that really came full circle for me was skateboarding, and it's not really an over dramatic statement when I say that skateboarding saved my life, man.
It's the truth, right?
Yeah,
you chose that path
back in the 80s, man. There was only very few things you could be doing, and it was gang banging, skateboarding, or organized sports, and music, of course.
Sure.
Nowadays, I mean, luckily kids have a variety of things that they can choose from. But, I was 10 years old when I lost somebody to the streets. And as a social worker, one of the things that I learned was that right around the age of 10 to like 14 is when, you are recruited into the neighborhood, and also...
So you're forced in.
Yeah, you're forced in because, it dominates the neighborhood, it dominates your community, the streets. But the other part is that I learned that, skateboarding was also not something supported in the neighborhood, And it's edgy, I remember one time when I was skating, I was hit up and the guy said, one of the homies said, hey, man, that's a white thing, man. What you doing on that board? And they wanted to, they wanted to jump me. So... We form our cliques, skateboarding cliques, and it's also for protection.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Growing up in like Pico Rivera and Whittier, it was so funny. We used to go skate at Los Santos Junior High off Slauson and Norwalk, and there was a gang called Los Santos.
Oh, yeah.
And they were pretty fierce. They would do a lot of shit. And I grew up with these guys, though. Like, I used to skate with these guys, and then like, there'd be like, they'd roll up, and there'd be a homie that, didn't know us, and he'd be like, fuck skateboarders. Fuck white boys.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, what do you mean, fuck white boys? I mean, so you just think if you skate, you're white? Like, that's a closed-minded thing, dude.
Yeah.
The first member of the Bones Brigade is Ray Bones Rodriguez.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and then came Tony Hawk. I mean, so, I mean, not even to get into all that, but I mean, for a gang member to say that in one sentence is the most ignorant thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
Well, you know what? Actually, you brought up a good point because skateboarding, the history of skateboarding really has a lot of people of color and Latinos involved from the beginning.
Yeah.
From the beginning, when you look at Dogtown, its makeup, yeah. I mean, it was a lot of people of color, you know, and yeah, Tony Alva, right?
Yeah.
So it's really, I mean, it's in the streets, you know, it's in our neighborhood. It's been there.
It's street culture. Yeah. First and foremost.
Yeah. And so I think in the '80s, man, it was actually important for us to support skateboarding and to be skateboarders because, you know, nowadays it's a multi-billion-dollar industry worldwide. And, we were just talking about this, recently that, you know, we still don't own a lot of the industry. You know, we represent it. You know, we get sponsored. We get, you know, basically some of the limelight, you know. But as far as who owns the industry, we still don't have a piece of it. And I think it's important to look at that because, you know, we need to start supporting, you know, Latinos in the industry and people of color in the industry. I think that's where it's at, you know, so that you can create jobs. You know, also open up the industry to people in the neighborhood who have talents beyond skateboarding. You know, for example, artists, graphic designers, right? People that are designing
components to the big picture.
Exactly. So, you know, when we try to talk about skateboarding, we emphasize that we've been in the game since day one, meaning, you know, Latinos and people of color.
Right.
It's just important that young people understand that because I think it gives them a different sense of a different pride in themselves and in their cultura, you mm-hmm. know, and that's important, man, you know. And again, it's street, you know. This is a street movement. Mm-hmm. You know, what we're doing is really reclaiming our streets, you know, through skateboarding, and we're organizing and we're mobilizing, you know, mm-hmm. And we're looking at our community and how to improve it and not move away, but rather invest. So. So we're at.
Very cool. And going back to the 80s and 90s question I had, what's your take on that, Raul? You agree?
On the gentrification?
Well, I mean, it's just, I think it's just, it's more of an exciting time right now. There's a bigger platform in Ball Heights. I think the city wants to help. There's more people moving in that are, you know what I think about the people from out of states and all the hipsters that are moving in? They want to know about the culture of Ball Heights. They're open to it.
Well, I have a totally, totally different point of view from other people when it comes to the area and the changes. You know, like I said, I grew up in the housing projects, and, you know, when they knocked down our projects and they kicked everybody out.
Aliso
Village.
Yeah.
And they asked me, they're like, oh, well, aren't you pissed off that they displaced your community? I'm like, dude, we lived in housing projects. You know what I mean? We lived in the bottom of the barrel. I mean, it's not ours too. We don't own it. And the point that I'm trying to make is that Boyle Heights has seen so many people and so many cultures pass by through there in the past 10,000 years. You know, I mean, in the last 200, mostly, you know. it's not anyone's. No one owns, you know, that community's been changing. It went from the natives, you know, who knows the original name of that area before it was Boyle Heights?
Buffalo Blanco.
Apachiangna.
Oh, before that.
Apachiangna. And then it became El Paredón Blanco, when during the Spanish era, and then it became Brooklyn Heights, and then it became, or Boyle Heights, and then Brooklyn Heights, one or the other.
And the Jewish community was established there before they fled to Fairfax.
Italian, Russian.
And even the first Japanese. The first Cantor's Deli was in Boyle Heights.
Yes, Japanese. Yep. You had the first Beverly Hills before Beverly Hills was, when Beverly Hills was still an oil field, Boyle Heights was where all the rich homes were at. Mm-hmm. You know, so I mean, it has a very long history, and no one's permanent. That's a history; it keeps going through, and so we're just passing through, also. And you know, being that I was born and raised there, and grew up there, and I have murals all around there, and we did a lot of work, and we're still doing work with the youth and the community. I think what's important, like what Armando's talking about, is knowing your history and being able to not just, you know, be like, oh, we're part of this this line, but be able to be a stakeholder and contribute and become an owner, not just become the renter. Because the truth is, you know, when they talk about gentrification, it's like, well, nobody owns these buildings. Nobody owns these homes that can say, you know what I mean? Like most of us are renters when we grew up there. So, you know, it's not like we were owners. So I really, you know, I embrace the change, but I also want to see more of our youngsters and more of the people that have, that struggled through that era of the 80s, the era of the 90s, to claim a stake in it and also benefit from this positive change, because we're just going to get not thrown under the bus. The bus is going to leave us behind.
Right.
Right. The train left.
Yeah. You know, it just seems like
the goal line passed.
It's exciting. Boyle Heights is more exciting than ever. I say this because back in the day, passing through there, you know, family, you know, when I was really young, they say, don't stop in Boyle Heights. Don't stop in Echo Park.
Yeah. Unless you want drugs.
Unless you want PCP. unless you want PCP, you know what I mean? But, you know, that was El Sereno.
That's wrong, bro. Yeah,
that was
that's
El Sereno. Wrong. That yeah, was yeah, El Sereno. Yeah. In the 70s. But, you know, let's be honest. Okay. It's super positive. I mean, think about it. You got, you know, Eastside Studios. Mm-hmm. You have, you know, Soul Skating Los Angeles. And you have all the great institutions like La Mascota Bakery. Mariachi Square Plaza. You have a nightlife in Boyle Heights. Before, people that live in Boyle Heights wouldn't be able to, like, just hang out in Boyle Heights. You would have to go to Hollywood and Los Feliz, which is fine, and it's great. That's part of the city. But I live in Boyle Heights the last 3 years. And you know what? When I have people come in from the Valley or anywhere or from out of state, and I night one, I'm going to take you out in Boyle Heights. You know what we do? You could actually make a night of it. We go to the M Bar. We go to Eastside Love. Tenno. That's three places.
Yeah, yeah. They're all on First Street. Yep.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, you can, you know, it has a nightlife. There's a, what's that playhouse on First Street also?
Casa 01.
Yeah, it's really big, right? Inside, I went with a friend to an art show, and then we saw a play in the same building. And then we went to Eastside Love, see mariachis and the burlesque show. And then karaoke at Tenno.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, you go over the M Bar, and there's a full night. I mean, the progress of the area, to me, it's just the beginning. You know, and then especially with the Day of the Dead Festival that just happened.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a huge platform. Raul, I wanted to ask you about murals really quick.
Yes.
How can art be reinforced in Boyle Heights? Do you think that it's the parents need to be more proactive and take ownership of that being a component in the schools, or is it political? Is it both?
I think that the youth are being ignored.
Completely,
There's no programs. They want art programs. They want art spaces. There's, like, let's say one place for a million people. You know what I mean? It doesn't make any sense. So, I mean, what it is, I wouldn't even put it on the parents. The parents are busy working. What I would like to see is some more support. Like, this is what the youth are asking for. They want spaces where they could do art, where they could learn art. You know, we do art classes at the Eastside Studios. We did them for the summer, a summer art camp with Soul Skating. We did a skate shop, skate classes and then art classes. But the thing is that's just one space, and we only did it for a limited time. We want to keep doing it. We want to put it out again. But I think that what it is it has to do with education. And those spaces, if you create spaces for youth to go and work and to be able to have an outlet, you can use it also to educate them on the past and the history of Boyle Heights murals, bring in the muralists. They're still around. They're not dead. And they need work. A lot of them need work. And that's the reality of our area. And what's happening right now actually is that if we don't do something for the artists that are native on the East Side or that started this whole mural movement in the 60s, the 70s, other people are going to come in. And they're gonna get pushed out, and that's where you lose your history. That's where you lose your connection to those murals, which are still, I mean, they're still beautiful. They're still there, and the muralists are still there too. And so, you know, being that we want to embrace this whole wave of development and economic growth in our community, we don't want to be left out. We want the community to be included. So I think that creating spaces for the youth is where it's
the first step, the first big step, and then go from there.
Yeah, because if you have the youth running wild and you're focusing on just, you know, giving cookies to one person, everybody else is, you know, looking at them like, you know, what a jerk. You know, like, what about us? So, I mean, the kids, I mean, they feel it. They know that you know, I clean a lot of murals that have graffiti on them, and people always tell me, oh, pinches mocosos, and they start cursing the kids. And I'm like, dude, I don't blame the youth at all. I don't blame them. They're angry, you know? And instead of pushing them...
They need an outlet, right?
Yeah. And instead of pushing them away or blaming them for everything or throwing them in jail, how about giving them a hand, you know, and pulling them up or showing them something new or not, you know, just not pushing them away, though. And so, I mean, I don't really blame them. You know, I tell people, you know, what kind of example do we give as adults when, you know, we say don't gangbang, stop shooting each other, support the troops? Doesn't make no sense. You know, you're saying one thing and doing another. So the reality is that that's what the kids see us do. And so I don't blame their anger. I think that is that we just need to do more for them. And I mean, I put it on myself. You know, I go and fix my murals when I can for free because, you know, according to the city, it's broke. You know, hopefully they could help us out once this wave comes in. But,
sure.
You know, I'm pretty sure we could help each other out. So, you know, well, I wouldn't put it on the city either, man. I put it on ourselves.
Right, right. Mondo, one thing that's interesting is that your shop gives skate lessons.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's talk about that.
It's actually, it's called the Soul Academy. And the academy basically has been running for a couple of years.
Wow. Very admirable, man.
Thanks, man. But you know what? What happened there was it was by parents asking, you know, hey, do you teach any skate classes? So like, no, we don't do that yet. You know, but as the demand kept, you know, growing, you know, there were many parents that were asking. We sat down and we talked about a curriculum and what that would look like. On the foundation end of it is that we're teaching kids how to skate, right? But really, it's a lot deeper than that, man. It's an opportunity where you have a captive audience, right? Young captive audience that's absorbing information. The common denominator is skateboarding, and it's a fun thing. And you're able to educate them about the community, about leadership development, about investing in themselves and in the neighborhood, even at a young age, because these kids need to be...
they need to honor themselves and their surroundings.
Exactly. And you know, and we're mentors, man. I mean, whether we want to be or not, we're mentors in the community, so we have to take that role really serious. And the skateboarding classes are just in high demand. You know, we recently have been doing it out of pocket. We were charging, about a year ago, we were charging like $20 for a weekend, you know, the full, you know, morning into the afternoon kind of thing. $20. But then I think the mission just grew to like, hey, we got to just make this accessible to everybody, you know, because we may have some families that can't even afford the $20. And so it's been out of pocket, really. And then when we opened up East Side Studios next door and we partnered with Raul, we attached the art component to it. And now it grew even more in popularity. And but, you know, it's all out of pocket, man, because the mission there is like what Raul was talking about. It's having outlets, you know, it's having the space, it's having outlets like skateboarding and art. You know, our kids need it. And
it's a necessity.
I mean, especially in a neighborhood like Boyle Heights, even though, yeah, I mean, you know, going back to this, the changes that are happening, you know, yeah, you know, again, you know, I embrace change, but, you know, we're making a statement by having to say that we're going to take care of our own kids. These are our kids, you know. And this is the wave of the future, man. The youth have to be number one priority for everybody, because they are the ones that are going to make that permanent change in an area like Boyle Heights because they're from it.
Yep.
It's not people from outside of our neighborhood coming in that need to make those changes. They're welcome to come and live in the community, but I think that we need to take the lead. People that survived what we survived.
Be proactive.
Yeah. You know, and so... You know, as we do what we do out of pocket, it's really making a statement saying, hey, we're not going to wait for the city, or we're not going to wait for LAUSD or grants. Although we're moving in that direction, by the way, we're trying to sort of create a social enterprise with what we're doing. And really what that means in a nutshell is that we're going to continue to run a business like a skate shop, but with the focus that most of that profit comes back for programming and to run a space, you know. I'm from the nonprofit. You know, I've been doing it for like 12 years. And after trying the shop as a business for 3 years and then, you know, having to have the Soul Academy part of it, I realized that I'm more comfortable in the programming side, you know. And so I've been talking to different people, including the mayor, about our need. Yeah. Yeah. We actually had a really cool experience with him over the summer. He came over to Boyle Heights. We had media time, and basically we let him know that this is what we're doing, you know. And I gave him one of these boards, right?
Yeah.
And someone recently sent me a picture that just met with him, said, hey, man, your board is in Garcetti's office. And I'm like, wow, because he promised to do that. But I thought, well, you know, he's not going to remember something like that. And he did. And to me, it's
actions speak louder than words, right?
Exactly, man. It's love, man. He's showing us love. And so for me, it also means that he's conscience of investing in young people.
Right.
Because Soul Skating LA is about the youth. You know, it's about them. And beyond Boyle Heights, you know, we have a lot of L.A. pride, man. You know, I mean, it's L.A. till I die kind of thing, right? And for me, it is, you know, and I'm trying to instill that pride in them too, you know. Something's about to blow up in L.A. as far as music and culture. I mean, it's already doing it, but I think that something big is going to happen here, you know. And the young people are all part of that force. So I'm just excited myself, like anyone else, to see what's about to happen, you know. But skateboarding is...
It's the anchor for positivity.
Exactly. It's like the glue. You know, just the lifestyle is it's amazing, man. It's like, I have this saying right now where skateboarding saved my life twice. One when I was 10 and another when I'm like in my mid-30s, you know. Well, actually going into 40 now, I'm 39. But it saved my life again, man. When I opened up the shop, it just gave me a whole different... You know,
injection of life, right?
Yeah, because now I'm surrounded by that next generation of young people that are going to invest in the neighborhood. So,
well, thanks so much for being here, guys. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, man.
Episode. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. All right, 90th. Yeah, my first.